It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome in to the CHGO Bulls Podcast. Coming to you live on Friday afternoon, April 26th. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Peck, Bulls underscore Peck, joined by my guys, Big Day, Bam, BAWL Sports, and Will, the Goat Golly, Will underscore Golly, our pal producer behind the scenes, Joey Spathis, at Joey Spathis. Taking a break from cranking out Bears graphics to hang out with us on our Bulls pod. Fun stuff to get to today. We're going to react to DeMar coming up just shy against Steph Curry in the NBA's Clutch Player of the Year Award for the 23-24 season. Inspired by the hype of the Bears draft, we are going to have our first conversation today about what the Bulls' biggest need is with their first-round draft pick coming up in that NBA draft this summer. So that'll be a fun time. But first, I feel like we must touch on the fact that Chicago sports fans witnessed history last night. Will, you were missed. At Joe's on Weed Street, me.
Yeah,
Big
how
Dave.
Was it? Give me a little rundown of the. I saw some videos. I saw the hype, but like, dude, what was it like in there for the people that weren't there?
When they said Caleb Williams' name, that place exploded. It was nuts. I shout
I
out
knew
to
they
all
were
the
pick him.
The Bears fans like, came out, man. Whew.
For some reason, when Goodell came to the podium, I was like, oh my god, what if something? Are they going to do something else? Are they going to trade the pick? Are they going to take someone else? And but
so
just
on
like,
brand.
Just 1 minute of like extreme panic, and then
so on brand.
We heard the two words that everybody wanted to hear: Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Honestly, go ahead, Dave.
No, it was great. Like that's I was just adding on to that point. Like it was really amazing when they said Caleb's name, and like you knew it was coming. But I'm picking at you, Will, when I say you're on brand, because I think a lot of people had that feeling. Also, you know. Hear a couple people saying, oh man, you know, it'd be just like the Bears to come make this trade. And I would be like, and I kept telling them to stop right now. We're breaking curses tonight. You know what I mean? Like, cut it out. This is over with. You know, this is done for. That joke is dead now. But just hearing it was just more exhaling for, you know, kind of Bears Nation, which is why they, you know, completely lost their minds. In addition to finally get a quarterback that's amazing.
The thing that was crazy to me, Dave, and I don't know if you felt the same way, but I felt like the roar was just as big or even bigger when we all heard what the Falcons did with the eighth pick, and that knowingly meant, hey, the Bears, I think, are about to draft Rome Odunze with the number nine. With all of the talk, once we all knew that they were going to take Caleb, everything was about what's going with that number nine pick. What's going to happen? Are they going to trade down? Are they going to trade up? Who's going to be there if they keep it at nine? When we all and that, so it was like huge roar when the Falcons don't take Odunze, and then when the you know when they come out there and announce the Bears pick at nine and it's Rome Odunze, the place blew the lid off again. It was wild.
Yeah, Will, the second part was even crazier. Like the response for Caleb was huge, but for Rome Odunze, people were making new friends at that point in time. It was Rome Odunze, you know.
Maybe a few more beverages consumed between pick one and pick
yes,
nine.
Yes, correct. Like, friends were made and bonded when they got Rome, because that's what everybody wanted. but didn't really want to say, because we were just happy to, you know, get Caleb, and we trust Ryan Poles. We were like, whatever he did at 9, it's going to be cool. It's going to be a great player. It's fine. But everybody kind of really wanted Roma Dunze, you know, for happening. So when it actually happened, and Bears fans who aren't used to getting what they want and to seeing this team operate like that, when that pick of Penix Jr. went, and then when that name was said, I mean, explosion. He's right. Matt is completely right. It was a bigger explosion for Roma Dunze than for Caleb, because you knew you were getting Caleb. But Roma Dunze exactly. was more of a dream.
One people were like, we're kind of preying on it. And it required a stroke of luck the other direction, right? Part of me was like, I kind of hope the Falcons take Rome, because I feel like, obviously, I like Rome and I wanted him because that's like the most exciting option. But I feel like this team just needs a lot of help on the offensive line and the defensive line. So, okay, your wide receiver's not there. Maybe you can trade back now, pick up a couple extra assets. And then when they didn't take him, I was just like, you know what? This is amazing. This is so sick. They're going to have like the best trio of wide receivers in the entire league. Obviously, Caleb, I think, wanted to play with Rome. They were like, they seemed to be really tight. That's so cool. And like, the Bears are going to have a sick offense. Like, they could be a top five offense next year. It's insane. This is on paper, the best Bears offense that there ever has been. Like, they got it. But like, oh my God, this is exciting. This is so sick.
Yeah. The excitement levels are through the roof, man. It's always just so great to be at those CHGO events, whatever they are, and for whatever team. You know, we love our Bulls takeovers and watch parties, but, you know, a Bears draft night like that that's so historic, the vibes were immaculate, as our friend Cody would say. But, like, it's crazy also that people were coming up to us at that historic Bears draft night and being like, so, man, like, what do you think AK's going to do with this, man? Dave, you and I were like, not tonight. Like, it's good to see you. Thanks for tuning in. But
Bulls draft season starts tomorrow.
Yeah. But I mean, shout out to our guy JR from GR, who drove to Chicago for our CHGO Bears party instead of driving from Grand Rapids, Michigan to Detroit, where the actual draft was. Awesome to see him. Shout out to Alejandro, who already had a mocked up Bears Caleb Williams jersey on, who said he is a big fan of the Bulls show as well. Chad, Jeremy, Justin, Patrick, Jason. Just to name a handful. So awesome to see you all last night at a fun event like that. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for telling us you appreciate what we do here with this Bulls team that is a little less exciting than the Bears right now, if we're being honest.
Yeah, Will, I really wish that you could be at some of these events and like really feel this love that they got for us in this show. Like it is ridiculous. Like Matt isn't giving the full extent of what it really was. Like, it was crazy. We were just standing there and being swarmed by people. You know what I mean? Like, coming up, like, yo, love this show. One guy told us that he sends our show in his family group chat. He's like, I have a family group chat with like 7 people in it, and I send them y'all stuff when you're going crazy, and I'm like, watch this now. And I send it to my family, so my family knows y'all and watches y'all's show and everything, man. And then we took some photos, you know what I mean? And then just met more fans that were there, bro. But it's crazy. They were asking about Joey. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, to be in that environment of CHGO Bears and then just to still have those people, you know, who were still like, no, bro, we watch y'all. Like, y'all are really great at what y'all do. So I really want you to feel some of this love, too, Will, for real.
Definitely. I felt it before at some of the Bears tailgates. I had some other stuff going on this weekend, so I wasn't able to go. But it's also just so nice to see that like this civil war of like the Justin versus Caleb thing is over and people can just come together and be really excited about an awesome football team and probably hopefully having some of that optimism rub off on the Bulls. And maybe we'll get into that here with some draft stuff.
Draft stuff! Before diving into the draft stuff, did want to touch on the results for Clutch Player of the Year that were announced during the lead-up to last night's playoff action. And just like his teammate Kobe White, DeMar DeRozan finishes second in his award nomination. Steph Curry takes home the top prize for Clutch Player of the Year. He finished with 45 first-place votes to DeMar DeRozan's 34. Total vote points, Steph edged him out 298 to 272. So not quite as close as Kobe was to Tyrese Maxey in the most improved category, but another pretty damn close race. And similarly, like it was with Şengün in third, the other finalist, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finished third behind Stephen DeMar with just 160 votes. So I saw a lot of Bulls fans who were, I think, as upset, maybe even more upset about this award, because it seemed like DeMar's resume was like legitimately better than Steph's when you compare the production, the volume, and the win-loss record of what DeMar did in clutch games and clutch minutes for the Bulls this season compared to Steph's. Like, it's like Steph won this award just because he's Steph Curry. And like, I'm not going to nitpick, because like, whatever. People who deserve to win awards are on winning teams, and DeMar was not. And I mean, honestly, Steph wasn't on a great winning team. They got bounced from the play-in too, but Benjamin in the comments saying you don't win awards with 39 wins. I that's kind of how I feel about it. I think DeMar was snubbed, but so be it.
Yeah, I feel like DeMar probably had a better chance to win than even Kobe. Like, I think, as we talked about yesterday and several times over the past week or so, like, I think we all kind of agree that Kobe had a really strong case to make most improved, but felt like maybe he wasn't necessarily the favorite to win. I think we all kind of expected Maxey. For this one, I kind of was expecting DeMar. Like, it doesn't stun me that DeMar wasn't ultimately selected. I think, honestly, Benjamin's comment about you don't win awards with 39 wins makes a lot of sense. I mean, even the Warriors, who were technically a seed worse than the Bulls at 10th seed in the West, they won 46 games. Yeah. And I think, you know, Steph's cumulative scoring, he had the most total points in the clutch. And I believe he played fewer clutch games, or maybe fewer clutch minutes, than DeMar. So that obviously factored in. And I think also, like, Steph is just going to be one of those guys where it's like, if you're tied with him, like, tie goes to the runner. Steph's going to win that, and unless you like go above and beyond and beat him out in that way. And I think DeMar was like pretty close. I probably would have voted for DeMar, but yeah, it doesn't stun me that Steph got it just because of him and his stature and what he was able to do. Obviously, in the clutch speaks for itself. But yeah, I think it's just kind of a metaphor and a microcosm for this whole season, right? Like, Kobe, great season, but fell short of the award. DeMar, great season, but fell short of the award. Bulls had some good moments, had some effective players. Guys stepped up, but ultimately fell short of their goal of making the playoffs. And I think that's just kind of how it played out.
Did Steph have more clutch wins than DeMar?
No, not more clutch wins than DeMar. Okay. But he had more clutch points, I believe.
Okay, so I think this is the second award where, as far as like the letter of the law of what the award is, it didn't go to who I thought it should have went to. I think you guys are right. Like, you know, as far as what you said with tie goes to the runner, and as far as, you know, wins being important, because I always kind of stress that to people, how important winning is in any individual award that you're going to have. It's important, unless you do something that is absolutely, utterly ridiculous and never really been done before. Like, ergo, Russell Westbrook winning MVP, even though they were a 6 seed, but he was averaging a triple double. Like, you still get the award, bro. You know, you did something we've never really seen before, ever. But at the end, though, it's still bullshit to me. Like, because I think DeMar was just still far exceeding, as far as, you know, what he did to actually win this award. I'm gonna read you this because I saw this. And I'm sure Matt saw this. What Kevin Anderson put out, our guy Bulldog put out on Twitter that he got scorched by Warrior fans who were not happy with his feelings. But you can't get mad at facts. Just like I can't get mad at wins, you can't get mad at facts. DeRozan led all players in fourth quarter scoring this season. Curry was fifth. DeRozan with 56 overtime this season are the most by a player in overtime in one season since Kobe did it in 06 and 07 season. And Kobe had 70 that year, which is absolutely ridiculous. DeRozan's plus minus in the clutch was a plus 94, and Curry's was plus 21. Like, if I'm going by the letter of the law of what the award is, for me, it was a no-brainer. It was going to DeMar DeRozan. And I felt to the point where I didn't even really mention Steph when we had this discussion. about it, because I was like, oh yeah, it's no way Steph's going to get this award. I didn't see him walking away with it. It made more sense to me that SGA would walk away with it just because he was on a winning team, which is why I was talking about winning matters. So the fact that Steph ended up with it, like you said, like Ty goes to the runner on those kind of situations. I get it. I understand it. But if you're going to have the award mean something and tell me that it's supposed to mean this and then go do that, then it's bullshit to me. But so he won it. And yes, 39 wins doesn't get you in that kind of arena and category.
One more stat from me. So just looking this up here, the Bulls played 43 or 44 clutch games this year. But DeMar, he missed three games and all three of those were clutch. So the Bulls were 27 and 17 in the clutch. Mm-hmm. DeMar was only 24 and 16. So they did have a couple of wins without him, which maybe hurts his cause a little bit more. The Warriors were 23 and 20. Obviously, the Bulls still had a better record there, but I think it kind of comes down to this stat here. So in 191.8 clutch minutes, DeMar had 182 clutch points. So 182 points in 192 minutes. Steph, 189 points in 142 minutes. So, I mean, he was scoring like well over a point per minute in the clutch. And I think clutch scoring, he had 189 total points compared to DeMar's 182. That was first and second in the league, but Steph did it in 50 fewer minutes. And I think that probably tilted the scales in his direction. But, you know, the other thing is like these awards, I know a lot of people take them really seriously. They have massive implications on guys in terms of their, like a lot of them have bonuses that trigger if they make an All-NBA team. Obviously, Zach Lowe was very loud about the fact that did not want an award this year. He didn't want that responsibility. I think it's really important to take that responsibility seriously. But I also think there are people that don't, and maybe they are just kind of looking at who put up the most points and that was good enough.
Shout out to our guy Dreds, who said they just don't like the Bulls, plain and simple. I assume you're referring to people who have votes for these awards. Meanwhile, Parra Jr. saying eight different players got first place votes. Kind of need to get rid of this award? And Parra is correct about that. So obviously, Steph DeMarchier finished 1, 2, 3. Joker had 4 first place votes. Brunson had 2. Luka had 1. And Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum each also had 1 first place vote.
All winning players, all winning teams.
Winning players, winning teams. But I do think it kind of, you know, people have been wondering about not only how you define most improved player and what tiers of players that award is for. We were talking about that on our show earlier this week, reacting to Kobe finishing runner-up. The clutch player of the year, I feel like, is pretty simply defined in the, hey, which players perform the best in clutch moments and have the stats and the wins to back that up. And I guess it's a shame, as people have joked about in Bulls Nation, that this award did not exist in the 21-22 season, because DeMar would have gotten all of the first place votes, every damn last one of them. And, you know, I don't know if it's an unnecessary award. I feel like we were doing fine without it. I guess it's just another fun trophy to throw on the pile when we hand out these awards at the end of every NBA season. You know, I don't know how much it would have mattered to DeMar to win the award. You know, we heard from Kobe throughout the season, especially once he took off, about what it would mean to him to win the Most Improved Player award. And I think that would mean something in its own right. I don't know. Do you think DeMar is all heartbroken about not winning this award?
I don't think so. I don't think it matters.
Based on his comments after their season-ending loss, I'd say no.
Right. That's his thing. He wants to win. Like, he doesn't. I don't think he's concerned. Like, oh, I got the clutch player of the year. Well, yeah, I don't think it matters to Steph. You know what I mean? I don't think it matters to those guys at all. It's not for them, to be honest. It's like you said, man. It's just something they can throw on the pile of things that they have. So those guys are trying to win trophies and, you know, that's what they're kind of after. So I don't think especially stuff like this really matters to them in the long run. No, not at all.
I kind of feel that way about Most Improved too, to be honest. Like, that doesn't mean as much to me as Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, you know, First Team All Defense, First Team All NBA. Those are the ones that I think kind of stand above the rest. And it would have been great for Kobe to win MIP. It would have been great for DeMar to win Clutch Player of the Year. But at the end of the day, I don't really think it makes that big of a difference to either of those guys. I think you want the recognition and the appreciation from your peers and from the voters. I get that. But like you guys said, I think they're much more concerned about getting themselves in a position to actually win higher level games in a more competitive team.
Yeah, Fish in the comments saying it's a dumb award. Dread saying as long as the Bulls don't get a Shaq to the Fool award. Well, I think they got that locked up. There's locked no up, way. Baby. If they award the best Shaqton of the season at the end of the season, I can't remember if the TNT crew does that. But that was
all century Shaqton play.
Yeah, it truly was. All right, we got to take our first break. When we come back, we will dive into some draft talk and specifically whether or not the Bulls have a specific targeted need to fill this roster with that first round pick of theirs in the 2024 NBA draft. That's just a couple months away. While we are sharing these words from our sponsors, you know what to do, Bulls Nation. Hit that like button if you're hanging out with us on YouTube, catching the replay on YouTube. We appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. If you listen on the pod, go ahead and throw us a rating and a review wherever you listen and subscribe. And subscribe as well to that CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Today's CHGO Bulls show brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS because it's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks and Roma Dunzes, you just pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 different player stat projections on the game that you're stoked to watch that night and watch the winnings roll in as you watch your favorite game. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during these basketball postseason series. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with not only basketball playoff games but hockey playoff games as well on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Here's what to do. Go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use promo code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO, promo code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You know, everybody was having a great time yesterday. I know that cold lager, cold filtered deliciousness was flowing everywhere around Bears Nation. Just a wonderful, wonderful evening. And it's a great way to make it better because even though it wasn't a chill time, today you can chill and you can relax and you can lay back and enjoy the spoils of victory. And guess who gave that to you? Coors Light, because they're going to help you find your chill, because there are plenty of chances in life to make things better by choosing chill. Grab every opportunity to choose chill, then reach for that refreshing Coors Light. Stick your arm out and go grab it, because when the mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smooth finish. Oh, just like getting Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. When you embrace a chill mindset, it's a good time to choose chill and crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. So make the most out of that time that you're choosing to chill on out. Choose Coors Light. Get it delivered straight to your door via Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. Coors Light. Find your chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Oh, I'm so relaxed. Oh, man.
The hard work is done, Dave. all we have to do now is just sit back and watch Caleb and Rome and the rest of their teammates lead us to victory after victory.
That's all I got to say.
Last night was truly the hard part.
That's it.
Mission accomplished.
Please, I mean, dude, and they got 9 picks next year. Come on, man. Like,
The Bulls, meanwhile, do not have an embarrassment of riches when you're talking about their cupboard of draft picks in the coming years. Somebody in the comments earlier joking about Dreads say, watch the Bulls get the number one pick in a very weak draft class.
I'll take it.
Xbox King Cam saying, can someone please tell me who the Bulls power forward is? Also, draft Klingon from UConn. I think we also had a super chat from Football CF Candy. Yes, we did. Saying, I remember he also was bringing up Klingon. Remember asking y'all who you would prefer on this team, MPJ, Garrett Allen. And the reason I did was due to, that French kid. What is his name? Richesse. Yeah. The 19-year-old Spaniard who's playing pro over in Paris or France right now. He is 6'10", 19. Definitely a spicy prospect that I think some Bulls fans are excited about. But so to the bigger question of what the hell does this Bulls team need? Some thinking a big. And if that is in part due to the fact that we think that we're going to lose Andre Drummond in free agency and that most Bulls fans have deemed Vooch to be the closest you can get to completely useless at this point. And also, you know, asking about the power forward position specifically, that sounds like a Bulls fan who is unsure about the future of Patrick Williams. And some Bulls fans have been clamoring for years to get a true power forward and slide Patrick Williams to the three, which we have seen at times in P. Will's first few seasons of his career. Not a lot of it, though. So what do you guys think? If the Bulls hypothetically were targeting a need as far as player type in this first round with that pick somewhere in the teens?
Dave, go ahead, because I have long thoughts on this.
Oh, trust me, we're on the same page. I planned on going first. We're on the same page. And that's why I posed the question, was because I wanted to hear your answer to this. Actually, you and Matt, I wanted to hear what you guys thought about this. Because when I sit and I think about this question, it's not an easy answer for me, but it feels like it's an easy answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, because I can look at every position and say, you should draft somebody at that position. Every position the Bulls have, I can really point to and say, yeah, you can get somebody for that. Whether it's you want them to come contribute now or whether it's somebody you might want to develop. I think the answer will become clear to me, obviously, when they make these decisions as far as, you know, DeRozan staying, as far as Lonzo's health, as far as Patrick Williams re-signing. Then, of course, obviously, these answers might become a little easier or even be a little tougher. I don't know. I mean, the Bulls need a rim protector. They are in just dire straits for a rim protector. Because I don't plan Andre Drummond being there, but he's not a rim protector, but he offered you something with his rebounding. So they're going to need that. And as Matt said, Vooch is definitely on the verge of just being useless. You know what I mean? It's just being a guy that is on the decline, I should say. You could bring off the bench and still get you a double-double, which is nice, but can he be your starting center?
Because the rim? He cheered his Orlando Magic onto victory.
In game I definitely saw that. You know what I mean? Let me go back to where I'm loved, where people actually like me down here. So, yeah, he was down there representing in Orlando. But I can look at that. But I also think about all the conversations I've had with Will. And I think about, you know, obviously the wing position. And I know what kind of covers that position, because that's what the NBA kind of covers, is having a wing. And Patrick Williams not evolving or growing into that wing player that we thought has set them back. And do you go ahead and make that decision to go get that wing who can be a true power forward, as they were just asking in the comments, or, you know, somebody that can be that three, you know, that 3-and-D guy that the Bulls don't have yet? They have a D guy because Patrick Williams can definitely play, you know, defense, but his offense is spotty. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying his offense is a little spotty there. Then you can look at the guard positioning. Even though my man Kobe White, you know, completely balled out, do you fancy yourself having a truer point guard in that situation? Somebody, you know, who can just be a general and run the floor and set it up and get everybody where they kind of need to be. Again, that depends on what they feel about Lonzo and him coming off the bench and all those other kind of things. But do you get that? The other thing that you lack is size. You know, and do the Bulls go out and get somebody who can fulfill that need as well? So, If I had to pick and choose the biggest need, the most glaring one, it's a 3-point shooter and rim protection, and it's been the biggest glaring one for years. You know what I mean? Like, we've been talking about the same damn thing. So if there's a rim protecting 3-point shooter, out there, then yeah, that's what you go get, like, immediately, right about now. Now, they are few and far between, obviously. You know what I mean? Obviously, you'll have to get higher up in the draft. Or maybe not. Maybe you can find one, you know, a little lower in the draft, you know, if you're good enough to do that. We've seen GMs do that before. Giannis, you know, Jokic, you know, however you want to put it. But those are the glaring needs for the Bulls, and have been the glaring needs for the Bulls. It's three-point shooting and rim protection. They need it. I don't care what position offers it for the Bulls, but who can go ahead and give me that? That's exactly what I want.
Red in the comments saying, can we draft a new GM? Brian saying Bulls' biggest need is a new owner. But yeah, Dave, I'm mostly with you. I'm like, where's the Frankenstein's monster who's an elite rim protector who also shoots 42% from three? Because that's what I want on this team. Will, what do you think?
Who can also switch on the perimeter and defend 1 through 5 and,
yeah,
you know, has some creation chops and can get his own shot. I mean, Dave, the list that you just had was a long one. And I think that's exactly the issue here, is that there's a lot of things this team needs to address. And to me, you know, this is a draft where there's not super high end talent. There's not anybody who really pops as being generational, who pops as being, you know, a franchise cornerstone type of player. That's okay. There's going to be a lot of role players in this draft. And quite frankly, I think there's two guys I would feel comfortable drafting number one overall. After that, I don't think I would want to have the third pick in this draft. I don't want to be the one that makes that decision, because I just don't feel great about any of those prospects there. I feel like between 3 and 14, 15, maybe even 16, 17 in this draft, there's going to be a ton of variation as far as who goes where, and different mock drafts having Reed Sheppard at 5 versus having him in the late lottery. You know, there's a million guys like that. So this draft is not really a situation where I think you're going to get that franchise changing player. So in most situations, or for at least half of the teams in the league who are drafting for fit, I think they're going to be in a good spot here where they can do that. For the teams that are drafting for best player available, for the teams that are looking for upside, I think that's where things get a little sketchy. And I have not started really watching a lot of film yet. So that could change. I think as we get closer to the draft here, the lottery is going to be on May 12th. I think after that, things will heat up in terms of, you know, the combine is starting. Teams are going to be in Chicago getting measurements, doing interviews, talking to players. I think that's when things will really heat up. But I totally agree with you, Dave. This team has so many holes. They've got so many weaknesses. And that's just as the team is currently constructed. What we don't know is how the team will look going into next year. And unfortunately, you're going to have to make a decision in the draft before you can probably trade a Zach LaVine, or before you figure out a sign and trade for DeMar, or before you even figure out if you want to, you know, commit to DeMar longer term, before you're able to trade Caruso. Like, the draft is first. And so, you know, I think if the Bulls are still deciding what they want to do, that's probably not a great thing. I think they need to have a plan by draft night of where they want to go. But I think ultimately where I'm at with this team is they need to draft for talent. They need to draft for upside. Because even if you do keep it together and you do run it back with DeMar and Caruso and Io and Kobe and Patrick Williams and Vooch, like, you're still starving for shot creation. I think part of the reason why this team struggles, and again, this is not a knock on Kobe, he's really good playing off of DeMar. Io, really good as an off-ball player. Patrick cannot really create his own offense yet. They need guys who can step into that DeMar role eventually, whether it's, you know, this upcoming season or down the line. I think you really need shot creation, the ability to play make and create shots for others. Those are the skill sets that I'm looking forward to most, because I think even if you do ultimately bring in a superstar player, you know, you need multiple ball handlers. You need multiple guys that can really create shots. So again, I think this draft is not really that talented in terms of guys who can potentially be a star at some point. I think it's likely that one of these guys ultimately turns into that, but I'm not confident who that's going to be. And so maybe they do go after a role player. I think there's a lot of wings in this class, not a lot of great shooters, although there are a couple. So we'll just kind of have to see, but I think the big thing is going to be determining a direction for the group at large, and then, you know, kind of identifying what type of player fits into that kind of new ethos, that new direction. And, you know, if that is somebody who can come in and be like another shot creator down the line, I think that's probably best case scenario. But there's also going to be a handful of guys that turn into solid role players in this draft. And If the Bulls want to keep building around their current group, I think that's they could have some luck around 11 if they stay there.
People in the comments chiming in with some of their wish lists. Football Candy and Brazil Popular both mentioning Khalil Ware, the big man from the Indiana Hoosiers, their 7-foot center. He did make big team all or Big Ten all defensive team this past season. If you're looking for some rim protection there, I don't know. Depending on where the Bulls pick, that might be a reach. But oh my gosh, Bulls fans are already just feeling so jaded about this draft class. but Dredd saying, yeah, sounds like the draft needs to be after free agency. That is what I was thinking about earlier today when I was thinking about us having this conversation. Will is. If we're actually buying what AK was selling at his season-ending press conference and that there are going to be some significant changes this offseason, then it's kind of hard to know what exactly your biggest need is depending on who's staying and who's going from the pile of pieces you have right now. I do not think, however, that prevents you from knowing everything that Dave just rattled off as far as what this roster is truly lacking. So I feel like you can... I still think the Bulls' best option in a draft class like this is going best available player.
Yep.
As opposed to picking and drafting for need.
The problem with that in this draft is that, like, what does best available player even mean? Because it's right. Not a situation. Like, when you're looking at BPA, it's typically like, all right, can this guy come in and impact the game or potentially be an impact player down the line? There's no one in this draft that really stands out to me with the exception of Alex Saar and Nikola Topic, who could really be like foundational players. I think there's a lot of good role players in this draft. And so if the Bulls are able to move up to one or two, I think that's who you look at. But like best player available and best fit, I think might be the same thing if you're drafting anywhere after two in this draft, which makes it really interesting. But I think it also makes it maybe a little bit easier to figure out that piece of the puzzle, Matt, which is that, you know, it's hard to know what your team is going to look like to understand what's best fit because you're not even making decisions yet about Patrick Williams free agency, about DeMar's free agency, about Caruso and Zach. And obviously there's going to be draft night trades. You can trade. I believe you can start trading with teams whose season is already over at any point. So, you know, the Bulls could in theory make a trade right now. I think most teams are going to be waiting until the finals are over when everybody's thinking about that. But I think this draft presents some interesting questions because it's not just like there's an elite talent that you build around, as far as I can tell right now. And again, I have not gone really deep on any of these guys yet. So it's kind of interesting to think about it from that perspective. I think that's part of the reason why the Bulls didn't kind of kickstart this tank and get the value of their own pick and try to get into that top four this year, because they know internally that none of these guys are going to be, you know, foundational franchise changing players.
Broom saying in the comments, Bulls should just jump to one and take Saar, easy peasy. Xbox Kick Game also mentioning that one.
There's a 2% chance they're taking Saar if they move up.
There you go, 2%. It's a non-zero likelihood that the Bulls win that. Have you decided yet, Will, if you want to go to the lottery again this year, or not just go, but like be?
I'll definitely go to the lottery. I'm not determined whether I will be in the sequestering room. I got to see if that's an option again this year.
Alexander in the comments summing it up succinctly, saying the Bulls have many, many needs. Yes, they do. let's take our second break right there. We'll come back and dive back into this conversation about the Bulls and what the hell they should do with that first round draft pick as they try to improve this roster that is sitting at home watching the playoffs. Or if you're Vooch, hanging out in the Orlando Magic's arena watching the playoffs. if you didn't hit the like button the first time around, do it this time for us. We greatly appreciate it. It'll take you 2 seconds and we'll entertain you in the meantime with some great offers on some great deals, including from our friends at Ray Chevy. You could drive home a winner this April. After visiting our partner, Ray Chevrolet. They're sharing their best offers of the year, so make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on all the wonderful savings. As one of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the entire Midwest, that includes Dallas, for the record. Shout out, Jim. You'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Plus, you can find the perfect tailgate vehicle for all of those CHGO Bears tailgates that are only a few summer months away when the hype will be palpable. You need the perfect tailgating vehicle for those awesome CHGO Bears tailgates. You can take advantage of their 0% financing currently being offered for 72 months on their new Chevy Silverados with over 100 Silverados available. And to top it all off, they're pricing over 125 vehicles under $20,000. That is a steal of a deal. Seriously, guys, can pricing get any more affordable? Trick question. The answer is no. Get a free oil change also when you head to Ray Chevrolet to check out their inventory in Fox Lake. All you got to do is mention CHGO Bulls. That's right, a free oil change. All you have to do is mention your friends at CHGO Bulls when scheduling your oil change or when you go to the service counter at Ray's. Start off the new year right and schedule it by April 30th. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963.
I like that. Will the Go Gottlieb, please tell me, what time is it?
Game time hoop.
You shouldn't have to worry, ladies and gentlemen, when you're buying tickets to the next big event. Game time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events nearest you with killer last-minute deals, because I'm so chill right now. Views from your seat and their best price guarantee. Game time takes the guesswork out of buying those tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It is not the place. No. It is the place to find last minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, hockey, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and so much more. And with zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time will do the selecting for an average savings of mini drum roll, Matt Peck. 18%. And with the Game Time guarantee, it means you will always get the best price. So take the guesswork out of buying those tickets with Game Time. Download Game Time app, create an account, use the code CHGO, and get yourself $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download that app. Use that code. It's called CHGO. $20 off what you get on your first purchase, ladies and gentlemen. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price. Guaranteed. Because Matt Peck, what time is it? Get out of room.
Eco being in the comments saying, stay away from G League Ignite players. Alex asking, do you guys get free automobiles from Ray Chevrolet? I mean, we don't roll that hard. I don't know. I don't. Did either of you get a free Chevy Silverado from Ray?
Not yet, but I might have to ask.
No comment.
Of course, Big Dave got hooked up. Of course. And you're still driving that Kia to the office. You're hiding. You're hiding the new fancy Chevy Silverado from us.
Listen, bro, you got to keep you a city car. You got to keep a city car, dog. I keep a city car on deck. And I love it. Shout out to the Kias, man. Shout out to you.
Xbox King Cam wondering in the comments, what can the Bulls give up to get the first pick? Honestly, I do not think this is a draft class where you want to do that.
Like, yeah, agreed.
The Bulls just got over the sending two picks to Orlando's way, you know, trauma. Still have to be concerned about that top 10 protected. You still owe to San Antonio next year in a much better draft class. I don't care if it's Alex R or, you know, Castle or whoever. Like, I'm not trading up in this draft.
What if the Warriors move up in the draft? They keep their pick. It's top four protected going to the Blazers. And they call up AK and they say, Arturis, give us Caruso and we will give you Moses Moody and the fourth pick or the third pick.
Deal.
Probably not for the top two pick. But I feel like that's deal. A pretty tasty deal. I would definitely do that. Yeah. So I think that's a situation
saddle.
That's a situation where I feel like a move up does make sense. You know, you're not getting a franchise player, but I think it's a really easy sell to the fan base where AK could say, yeah, we got rid of a guy we love, but we got a chance at, you know, a top four player in a draft. We have a chance to kind of reset here and build around. Like the Bulls are their situation. They need to do the right things in order to get themselves into a better situation. But you've got some good young players, Io, Kobe, Patrick Williams, Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips, the 11th pick this year. That's a decent young core. You need to find the number one guy and probably the number two guy, but you could be cooking if you kind of make some good deals here and get yourself back on track. So I know we've been, maybe Matt and I in particular, have been kind of down about the outlook here. And I think part of that is due to the fact that, like, we anticipate the Bulls not making any changes that kind of get them into this new direction that we've been talking about. And I think if they wait until, you know, next year or the year after, when they can't really get anything for DeMar, and maybe now Caruso's walked for nothing and Kobe's got to sign a new contract and he's going to be, you know, not extension eligible because there's no way the Bulls can retain him on 120% of what he's making. And they got to, you know, re-sign him as a free agent and convince him to stay. They can set themselves up if they do the right thing now. I think it would have been better at the trade deadline. I think it would have been better last summer. And I think it would have been better the trade deadline before that. But they are in a decent situation if they kind of take the right steps here. And even though there's nobody who's super exciting in this draft class, I think you could add to that young crop of players, maybe be bad again next year. And, you know, that's when you go for an Ace Bailey or a VJ Edgecombe or a Cooper Flagg. And now you're really cooking.
Yeah, and again, Will, they're saying the right things as far as what they want to do as far as this year and, you know, making big changes, you know, and all those kind of things. And they're going to have to anyway, as you pointed out, like regardless if they want to or not, they're going to have to make some of these changes on this team and on this roster. But I think you brought up a good point. Like, you've got to find out who's the guy on this team. Like, we still don't really know who the number two guy is, you know, on this team. Who's your true number two? Is it Vooch? Is it Kobe? Like, who wants to take over that role? I'm talking about with DeMar. Obviously, DeMar is your one. But you can't really put a finger on it because it was just kind of riding the hot hand on a lot of guys, you know, on a lot of nights. And Kobe kind of took over for it in several spurts from it. But we have seen opportunities in games, you know, where he would kind of, you know, sputter, especially when he got injured and went out. Like, who's the guy that's going to, you know, take over that you can lean on, you know, if DeMar, you know, didn't have it going on for that squad. Like, there's so many holes you've got and so many things on the car that they've been kind of creating that they have to get fixed before they can put this thing on the road, man. And
or Dave, do you want to just cash in on, you know, the car and buy a new one with the credits that you
they
get?
Could no all that's training. All that's an but option. Like I said, like he said, those things, those are options. Yeah, everything is on the table. I don't think anything is off the table with what has been done, you know, with what we saw this year and the moves they didn't make previously to put them in this situation. Right here, you put yourself in the situation where selling your car is a damn option, you know, for you. So we'll see what they decide going forward. I'm excited to see what they decide going forward because they won't have a choice. And it's like you keep saying, Will, and you keep saying this during this whole show, it's about making the right decision. You know, just making the right, building and doing it the right kind of way. You know, realizing what you have and what you don't and trying to, you know, improve on that. I feel like they did. They started with that in the coaching, you know, as far as the movement I don't have a problem with those moves, you know, that they did as far as their coaching staff. I don't think those are bad moves. They want to kind of keep it internal, you know, and AK has been kind of really huge on trying to build a culture here for this team. And obviously that extends to the coaching staff. So I don't have a problem with that, but it has to be out there and it has to spill out to what's on the floor, you know, for this squad, man. What's the culture going to be, you know, for the team that he's trying to build? And it can't just be just because guys are here, that's our culture. You know, you got to have some real talent around that, which makes this such a difficult question about, you know, their biggest need and what they need out there. But I don't know, man. They have a lot of ways they can go. Like Will says, they can just light the match and blow it all up and sell the car and do all that. That's always an option. We'll find out what he has to do, but it's the point that he has to do something. He doesn't really have a choice anymore. He has to do something, and that's what we're going to be looking at going forward.
There are a few other names that I saw coming up repeatedly in the comments that I wanted to touch on. You know, I saw people talking about Dalton Knecht, the senior from Tennessee. Somebody mentioned Matas Buzelis, the Lithuanian who's been playing G League Ignite ball. Many people mentioning, you know, UConn's Donovan Klingon. Those three in particular are slated like top 10, back half of top 10 right now. They might not be top five picks. Maybe somebody reaches for one of them. But like Bulls fans, I feel oftentimes reach for the player that they think they want in a draft that's probably going to be gone by the time the Bulls are up on the clock. And look, we haven't gotten to the draft lottery yet. We don't know if the Bulls are going to be picking 11th or sliding down because somebody other than them jumps ahead of them, or maybe they get lucky and jump up. But when you're talking about who could be a good fit for this roster and who you want, who you like in this draft class, a lot of people are throwing out names that are not going to be on the board if the Bulls are picking at 11. The one, and it was mentioned earlier, and we kind of skated past it, that I thought we could touch on a bit more, because not only, yes, Football CF Candy, we did read your super chat about him. Maybe you stepped out for a second. But it's because in Kevin O'Connor's latest NBA 24 mock draft for The Ringer, and it was, I think, early April, April 9th, I think, so before the season ended, but he had the Bulls slated 10th in this mock draft, and there he is, Zachary Rizachet from France. And here's the little blip from KOC on the Bulls picking him at 10. After making nearly half of his threes in his first 34 games this season, Rizachet has made only 24.5% in the 14 games since. It's possible his hot streak was nothing more than that. In his first 3 years playing pro, he made only 32% of his threes. So the recent percentage is a lot closer to his historic norm. In all four pro seasons, he's also made just 71.1% of his free throws. I know Big Dave's not going to like that. And Synergy says he also makes just 29.5% of his dribble jumpers, just 40% of his floaters. So it's not like he has a particularly soft touch from that range and around the rim. Regardless, it's easy to see a squad like the Bulls, who once took a swing on Patrick Williams, try to do the same thing with a potential 3-and-D guy like Rizachet.
That's a backhanded-ass compliment.
I mean, he has been number one on ESPN's mock draft, I think, the last couple of rounds that they've done. I think he is like a prototypical tall 3-and-D guy. He's not going to be getting over screens and chasing guards around. He's a decent movement shooter. He's a really good catch and shoot guy. I'm not sure he can really do much off the dribble, but like, again, in this draft, teams may feel more comfortable taking a swing on a guy they feel like can plug right in, can be a power forward or a small forward who can really shoot it and move the ball without necessarily having that upside, because you know, maybe you take a chance on upside and you end up with somebody that completely busts. So again, I don't think the Bulls are in a situation where they should be drafting for best fit, but in this draft, maybe it's a little different just because of the nature of it. Matt, maybe this is a good time. I can just show my little draft board. I think we've got like 115 people in here watching on YouTube. So you guys are going to get a little sneak peek at something that I've been working on for a little bit here, and something that we will have for our diehard subscribers only. Joey, if you wouldn't mind putting that up on the screen for us.
Little help, Joe.
Sweet. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you can see this draft database I put together. Don't mind the big board order right now. That is completely raw and will be changed, but you can see, like, you know, who the player is, what their age be on draft night, height, weight. Once we get wingspan, vertical leap, we'll get that in from the combine that will be happening the week following the draft lottery. Points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks per 70 possessions. You got your shooting efficiency numbers, rebounding, usage, turnover rate, assist rate, steal and block rate, and BPM, offensive, defensive, and PER. So this should be a pretty useful tool to use to kind of compare, and I'll use it to kind of rank my big board. Just looking at some of these guys, though, it's like, yeah, I really think Cody Williams could be a great player. I'm obsessed with Jalen Williams. He's a great, just an awesome player, but like, can Cody shoot at the same volume? Can he be that kind of guy that can really be a great efficient shot shooter? And you know, you look at his 3-point percentage here, it looks great, but he's just not taking very many of them, and that tells me that he's not a super confident shooter, which tells me that maybe he is not going to be a 47% 3-point shooter for the rest of his life. And how does his free throw attempt his free throw percentage look? That can be an indicator for shooting touch and ability to extend your range and be a good volume 3-point shooter at some point. So a lot of good information in here, and then have not started building this part out of it yet, but we'll have all this information with profiles for each individual player that will include all of their synergy play type information, their points per possession, how those points per possession rank against other players at that same position, along with some notes and film from whatever it is that I end up using to scout them. So a bunch of YouTube, bunch of synergy stuff, and yeah, like strengths and weaknesses, who do they compare to, who do they remind me of, that kind of thing. So if you're interested in getting your hands on this, I think it'll be really cool. I may move it over into a Notion, which is what we use internally at CHGO, and that's how we did it last year. But yeah, I think it'll be really cool. And if you are a CHGO diehard, you can get access to it as we move into draft season.
Hell yeah.
Will is on a mission, whether he knows it or not, to make you a smarter basketball fan. So if you want that, become a diehard and allow the GOAT to make you a smarter basketball fan, ladies and gentlemen. That's amazing what he's doing.
I also just love a spreadsheet. So I
read in the comments that Excel sheets with the hot sweating emoji. Alexander saying, wonderful use of color, Will. Jimmy Lit World saying, the GOAT's cooking. Can't wait to check this out in that CHGO diehard content. The latest wonderful reason to sign up to be a CHGO diehard if you aren't already, on top of all the perks, the discounts to our events and parties, the discounts to the merch locker, which, by the way, just dropped 3 brand new CHGO Bears related tees in that CHGO locker. Go check them out.
The franchise.
I love the franchise with the 18 hidden in there. Yeah. Oh, it's great stuff. Great stuff. Nice. Sign up to become a diehard to get the best of the best from the GOAT's brain in this 2024 NBA draft class. With a little bit of time we got left, I know you said you haven't taken a deep dive yet, Will. Is there somebody that you've heard Bulls fans talking about that you think is realistic? Let's target that. Slash, is there a player that you keep hearing Bulls fans talk about who you think not going to happen because he won't fall, or I don't like this guy's game?
Yeah, I mean, I think I could see a couple of different variations happening. Like, you know, if Donovan Clingan goes in the top 10 and the Bulls are set on a center, Khalil Ware, Filipowski, even Zach Edey, I think are guys that the Bulls could target. I would not be a fan really of any of those guys. I do like Khalil Ware. I think he has a chance to be more of a shooter than some of those other guys. He was at 44.8% from deep last year, but very low 3-point attempt rate. But that's, you know, that's solid for a guy who can be a rim protector and rim runner. And if you're looking for size, who can shoot and who can defend, like that could be an option. But
I think KOC had him at like 18, maybe.
Yeah, he's
his latest mock
a lot lower on a lot of people's boards. I don't really understand why. I feel like he could be somebody that is a riser depending on how he performs at the combine. And then you've got like, I think Reed Sheppard probably goes ahead of the Bulls. He's so interesting to me because he shot 52% from three. He was like lighting it up. He's incredible passer and extra passer. He honestly reminds me a lot of Lonzo Ball. His steal rate, his block rate are insanely high for a 6'3 guard. Not really great at like getting downhill and creating his own shot. He's also pretty small and did not perform well at the NCAA tournament. And so his stock could, you know, take a hit. And if he's there, I mean, that would be awesome. Again, I don't think he's going to be that guy who can be like the number one generator of offense, but like all the indicators are there, the way that he plays, the shooting, like I think he'd be a perfect kind of off guard next to a Kobe and a DeMar if the Bulls kind of keep it together in that way. I also like Risache. I think he could be a good fit at 11. I don't think he would be a great pick at number one or number two. Like to me, Sar and Topic are easily the top two guys in this draft. Stephon Castle has kind of moved up and down. I don't know. I just feel like any of these guys could go in the top 10. Any of them could fall outside the top 10. But one name to keep an eye on, I know somebody in the comments already said no G League Ignite players, but Tyler Smith, he's 6'11 shooter who can block shots. I think he can play 4 or 5. I think he could be somebody that the Bulls look to. And, you know, the other thing is maybe the Bulls look to trade out of this pick and move back and pick up another asset. Because I think the difference between 11 and 17 or 11 and 22 is maybe not that great. On the other side of that, maybe you feel like you have an opportunity to move up if you really like someone, because other teams are feeling that way. They feel like they can get value later on in the draft, so they're willing to move back at maybe a cheaper price than in another draft, where like moving up to 5 or 4, you know, in last year's draft to get Asar Thompson, Amen Thompson, that would have been really hard because those guys are just super valuable prospects. There's not a guy like that in this draft. So maybe that's an opportunity for a team to move up and, you know, do it cheaply. So I think this draft cycle is really interesting. A lot of people are saying it's like the worst draft since 2013. That could be the case. But I think typically what that means is that there's not an all-star franchise player at the top, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be a ton of good starters and role players, you know, from 3 to 23. So I think the Bulls are in a decent spot here if they can take the right steps and set themselves up a little bit and, you know, rely on their scouting and their draft prospect development stuff to identify the right guy and swoop in when the time is right.
Rob said there's going to be a few gems in this draft. Probably just need luck more than anything to pick them. Well, gee, that makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside as a Bulls fan. I totally have the faith that that'll happen. Meanwhile, Jordan's in the comments saying, yes, Will, I said Tyler Smith, baby Bosh. That's a fun comparison. I think baby he's played in like early 20s in most of the mock drafts that I've looked at so far. So, but I also like what you proposed there, Will. Like maybe they trade out of 11 if they don't love anybody there and maybe try and compile a couple more picks to put in that cupboard, even if they're second round picks, because, you know, again, let's remember they gave one up to go into that second round to get Julian Phillips last year. So there's Trading that back
feels like their thing. Yeah, he doesn't like drafting high, guys. He said this a million times. He does not like drafting high. So that's not being surprised if he trades back.
I mean, why would he? Because when he did, he got Patrick Williams, and Bulls fans have just been largely disappointed in the results.
Yes.
Karina Martin, can we stop with Kobe White? He's not an all-star point guard. He is elite, but he is a combo guard, and he's 6'6", bro. Did you just have an argument with yourself, Karina Martin?
I think he did, yeah. I'm like, who said something like that? Like,
he's not an all-star. Who said he was? He is elite. What's the difference?
I do think, like,
this is not a Kobe White conversation, but thanks for joining us.
That's another thing that I meant to say earlier that I didn't, which is that, like, you know, even if like the Bulls feel like they don't really need a guard because they've got Kobe, they've got Ayo, they've got Caruso, they've got guys that they like, this could be a draft where you just take the best talent available, or if you have an opportunity to get someone who they think could be a real facilitator, a real point guard of the future. Again, I think the biggest need is somebody who can be a primary initiator. I think positions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, less important than like player archetypes. You're looking at, you know, primary initiator, you know, secondary initiator. You're looking at 3-and-D specialist. You're looking at rim protector, rim roller. There's different player archetypes that I think the Bulls need to be more focused on than size and position. And obviously they've felt that way with their current roster construction, and that's how sometimes you end up with a bunch of smaller guards. But I think at this point, especially in DeMar's career, even if you re-sign him for 2 to 3 years, you need to start building your young player base of guys who could take over and be that next guy. And so if Isaiah Collier is that guy, maybe he is, maybe he's not, I don't know. But like, if the Bulls feel really confident in him and his ability to ultimately become like a star point guard, then just because you have Kobe White would not stop me from taking him.
That is where we will leave the draft conversation for now. We are out of time. Thank you so much to everybody for tuning in today. Hit that like button on your way out if you didn't do it yet. We appreciate it. And we are off until Monday. Off-season mode, activate! But don't worry, because night 2 of the NFL draft is just a couple hours away. Our CHGO Bears crew are at Joe's on Weed again tonight for the next phase. And we'll see what the Bears do. You can tune in and watch them as they all watch the NFL draft resume tonight. CHGO Sports YouTube channel. They'll be live. I believe they're starting again at 6 p.m. Central tonight, just like last night. Yeah. So 1 hour from now. And until Monday, you can follow Will underscore Gottlieb. Big Dave is at BOW, BWL Sports. Our pal producer Joey is at Joey Spathis. They call him Joey 1.2K. Also, shout out to Joey, who's just been working his ass off, not only this week, but for weeks, plural, leading up to the wonderful content that you've seen coming out of CHGO for this NFL draft coverage, on top of still, you know, riding with us on the regular. We love you, Joey. We appreciate you. I am Bulls underscore Peck. We are CHGO underscore Bulls. Have a great weekend, Bulls Nation, Bears Nation. Bear the F down. We'll talk to you on Monday. See you around. Be good.
Bears. We all silly like the mayor.